This morning, I want to continue in the next step, and I really hope my message comes out the way it is in here. If it comes out the way that it is in here, I think it's going to be impactful to you this morning. I actually think the next several weeks are going to have a great impact in your life. I think it's going to have a great impact in mine. If you're visiting Harvest Church, we're really glad that you're here this morning. And if we haven't already mentioned that, we've got the hub back there. And if you're a guest, we'd love to have you fill out a guest card, and we'll give you a free espresso, cappuccino, chai latte, hot chocolate. They've just got all kinds of stuff back there. And so we'd be happy to give you that just to say thanks for coming to Harvest Church. And if you give us your contact information, I'd love to contact you during the week, just send you a text or an email just thanking you for your visit and just finding out how we could pray for your family, anything that we can do for you. So I'm excited about that. And then I'm excited that you're here this morning because God obviously wants to speak to you. There's something he wants you to hear. Amen? Every time we hear the word of God, we should be changed. Every time. Something should be adjusted in our life just by hearing the word of God. It's spirit and it's life. And so every time we take it in, our lives should be adjusted and molded. So we're talking about taking the next step in grace. And I've mentioned three areas. And this morning, I'm going to begin the third area. And I'm on slide number two. I'm just going to call out slide numbers, and it'll probably help for the guys there. I do apologize. When I put this together on my formatted computer, it looked different. And so I think a couple of the things are going to appear out of the box that they're supposed to be in. Sorry. I was trying to get fancy and put some different fonts on there, you know, to make it look a little more appealing for you. The first one we talked about in taking the next step in grace is finding forgiveness. And every one of us need to come to that point where we find forgiveness, where we have come to the Father, and we have confessed our sin, and we find forgiveness. And we can leave the weight and the burden of sin behind us. The second one is finding family. We've all got to find our place, where we fit in the body of Christ. We've got to find our family. I remember the first time speaking was a long time ago. This would have been 1979. I was preaching a message at a small church in Montrose, Colorado, talking about there's only two kinds of families. There's just two. It's the family of God, it's the family of the devil. You can pick. There's only two. You choose which family you want to be in, and somebody took exception to that because they weren't in the family of God. And so they said, you're saying I'm in the family of the devil. I'm saying, well, you know, I'm just, Bible says there's two families. It's the family of God, family of the devil. So that's what I was saying. But you got to find your family. And not only you got to find your family spiritually as far as the family of God or the family of the devil, but you got to find your local family. You got to find your body, the church that God wants you to be a part of, because you're never going to take the next step in grace without that. And this morning, I want to talk about taking the next step in grace, and that is finding your future. And I'm excited about that because our future as a church is changing. And so this has application to me personally, it has application for you personally, and then it also has application for our church. You can look at slide number three. Last week, I gave you these basic needs from, I think it was compassion.com. Everybody's got these seven basic needs. Every single one of us do. And the first one was comfort. The second one, variety, significance, love, growth, contribution, and belonging. Some of those have definite application to finding our future. Significance. We all want to feel like our life has meaning, that we have value. And then growth. We all want to become a better person. Isn't that true? I want to be a better person tomorrow than I was today. And then in contribution, we all want to make a contribution so that the world is a better place because I was there. When I come to church, try to instill that in Aaron. When I come to church, I want church to be better because I came. Not just because I lead the church. I was that way whenever I went to church. I want the church to be a better place because I was a part of it. I gave my gift. I used what God gave me to use. And so you can see that in these basic needs, all of us have a future. This is where the screen's going to appear a little weird, and we'll try it. Matt did come up and let me know. Let's try slide number four. And some of them are out there. I looked up some quotes on future, and it was going to look neat. I'll give you the quotes anyway. You can see them up there. So here's some quotes on your future. You are not defined by your past. You are prepared by your past. I like that one. No matter how dirty your past, your future is spotless. The longer, this one might hurt just a little bit, the longer you live in the past, the less future you have to enjoy. Man, let it go. Huh? We're ruining it. That was not up there? That was not up there at all? Yeah, it's up there somewhere. Yeah, that one. The longer you live in the past, the less future you have to enjoy. You didn't bring your glasses. It's okay. And then I've just got two more. To put the past behind you, you must accept that you have moved beyond it. And then the last one there. Inhale the future. Exhale the past. You can go to slide number 5. This morning, I want to set the stage for taking the next step in our future, and I want to look at the life of Abraham just a little bit. And I'm only going to be able to touch just a little bit of it this morning, and not going to give everything, because that was my difficulty this week, is what do I need to leave out for next week or in the next week, and what can I focus on this morning? And so I want to look at the call of Abraham, and I want to look at what he did with that call, and I know that God's going to speak to you out of this. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to look at Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, I'm going to be reading out of the New Living. There is one right in front of you if you want to follow with the same reading that I have. Reading out of the New Living, I believe that's what I copied these from, and that's Acts chapter 7. Here in Acts chapter 7, we see the first call of Abraham. There are some people that believe that Abraham received two calls. And I might join that category of Abraham receiving two calls instead of one. I don't want to get too off into that, but this is where we see in Acts chapter 7, the first call of Abraham. It'll make sense when you read it there. I'm in slide number 6. Acts chapter 7, and I'm going to start in verse number 2. Brothers and fathers, this is Stephen. This is just before he gets stoned. And so Stephen is having to give an answer for what he had said. And here's part of his answer. Brothers and fathers, listen to me. Our glorious God appeared to our ancestor Abraham in Mesopotamia before he settled in Haran. Just for the note there, Stephen was stoned just after this, so I hope nobody brought any stones this morning, because I don't want to get stoned after I read this verse here. Verse number 3. God told him, leave your native land and your relatives and come into the land that I will show you. Verse 4. So Abraham left the land of the Chaldeans and lived in Haran until his father died. Then God brought him here to the land where you now live. The reason some people believe this is the first call is because there's a reference of the Chaldeans there. And then also it was before they left to Haran. And then we'll read the second call, which is in Genesis chapter 12. And you guys we're all familiar with that. So let's look at Genesis 11. I want to stick with this first call here for just a minute. Genesis chapter 11. You're not going to find it in the New Testament that's there in front of you. I think it is going to appear on the screen, and that's slide number 7. I'm going to read out of Genesis 11, verses 31 and 32. One day, Terah took his son, Abram, his daughter-in-law, Sarah, his son Abram's wife, and his grandson, Lot, his son Haran's child, and moved away from Ur of the Chaldeans. Look at this next part. He was headed for the land of Canaan. And then the last part of this verse is where I think we have application today. But they stopped at Haran and settled there. Terah lived for 205 years and died while still in Haran. So I want to give you a little bit of detail on Haran. You can see why Acts references the first call. It was before they left. And then here, we don't know all of the details on was it Terah that got the call, or was Abraham said, hey, God's called me to go to the land of Canaan. I'm out of here. And Terah said, I think we're going with you. We don't know the details there. But what is there about Haran? Can I give another little piece of the puzzle here? Because we're talking about Lot's dad. His name is Haran. Abraham's brother, his name was Haran. And they settled in a city called Haran. So we got a couple of them there. Don't confuse the two, because they're totally different words. His brother's name, Haran, meant mountaineer. We'll find out later what the city meant. So let me tell you a little bit about this city right here. It was a caravan route between the east and the west. It's about halfway between Ur. Wouldn't you love to live in Ur? Where do you live?
Ur.
They call it Ur of the Chaldeans because there were actually three places called Ur. It's like you didn't think about it the first time. You get to the next city. What do you want to call the city? Ur. And then you move on to get to the next city. And what do you want to call this city? Ur. And it's just like you can't think of it fast enough. So it's like, oh, it's Ur. Probably wasn't the same person that discovered all three of those cities. It's about halfway in the journey. It was an outpost city before crossing the desert. And so it was the last outpost city. It was located in a very prosperous area. It was the fertile Euphrates River Valley. And so there were two rivers on both sides of it. It was very fertile and it was very prosperous. And this is where Abram settled. Now, there's some good news here, and that is that Haran is a long way from where they started. The problem was, it wasn't where they were going. I've come a long way from when I got saved when I was 16 years old. But I'll tell you one thing, I haven't arrived at where I'm going yet. I've come a long way, and there are a lot of us that look at it and say, boy, I have journeyed down this road a long way. And could you imagine, it was about 600 miles that they had traveled. Could you imagine caravanning 600 miles with kids and all those little things there? I don't know how many miles they traveled each day, but that would just take forever. And they get to Haran, and lying ahead of them is 400 miles of desert, and they probably thought, I think we should probably rest here for just a little bit. I would imagine some of the kids were a little grumpy and a little whiny, and there were probably a few folks that just said, ho, ho, ho. Can we stay between these two rivers here and enjoy a little peace and quiet before we set out on this trek across the desert? I've come a long way since I became a Christian, and I hope you can say the same. I hope you can look at your life and say, God has done an awful lot in me, but we're not there yet. We haven't arrived. I haven't arrived at my final destination on this side of life. In other words, God's not done working in me. I haven't achieved everything that God wants me to do, and I certainly haven't arrived at my final destination on the other side. And I'm hoping that's down the road just a little bit, not the 205. I'll take 105. Did you hear the woman that just got to meet President Obama just last week? Was that just incredible? This woman was born in 1910. Could you imagine that? She was 106 years old. I find it interesting that she's been asking for 6 years to meet the president. Could you imagine an African-American woman born in 1910 thinking that she would ever see a black president? And at 106, she got to meet him. I know it's the funny side in my brain, but it's kind of me is like kind of wondering, okay, she asked when she turned 100. Nah. Make 101, then you get to meet the president. Yeah, I said 101. Nah. If you can make it to 106, I just find that quite interesting. So I'm gonna live for a while, but I'm not there yet. Look at slide number 8. Philippians chapter 3. Paul hadn't arrived yet either. And you and I might look at Paul and say, if somebody in the New Testament had actually arrived, they got to their destination, Paul's got to be the guy. I want to read some backstory here. Just a couple of these verses are going to appear on the screen. I'm going to read the entire section, 4 through 16. It says, indeed, it is in the New Living. You've got that Bible right there in front of you. Philippians chapter 3, starting at verse number 4. Indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew, if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demanded the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. As for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. I once thought these things were valuable, But now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I became righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him. It's a prayer we don't like to pray, is there? Sharing in his death so that one way or another I will experience the resurrection from the dead. Verse number 12 says it this way. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already received or reached perfection. But I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. But I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. If you want to take the next step in your future, you got to leave the past behind. And that's why I wanted to give you Abraham. God had a great call on his life and said, I want you to get up. I want you to leave your family. We can look later on why would God ask him to leave his family? Why would he do that? It's interesting, men, that three times in the Bible, God has called us to leave our family. Genesis chapter 2. Matthew chapter 6, and then in Ephesians chapter 5, it says, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So some of us might look at that and kind of wonder. We can look at that in a little more detail if we want. God called Abraham to leave the past and go to Canaan. And I want to tell you this morning, God's got more for your life than what you're experiencing today. And if you want to reach that, if you want to reach out in grace to see the future in your life, you got to let go of the past. A little easier said than done, isn't it? And so let's take a look at Haran. Abraham and the crew are traveling some 600 miles across this route, and they get to Haran, and they stop there. It's a great place, and so they're resting there. Why would anybody stop in Haran? I got three reasons I want to give you. It might have application for you. Why would anyone settle in Haran? I don't think they just stopped there for a week. It was very difficult finding out how long they were in Haran, but most things that I could discover, they were there at least 5 years. I'm sorry, if you're in Haran for 5 years, this is your fifth year in Tyler, Texas. You show up in Haran, you're not just camping there anymore. You know how much garbage you can collect in 5 years? You know how many valuable treasures you can collect in 5 years? They do get rid of a lot of stuff. I got to take that one out of my mind. They settled there. That's what the text said. In Genesis chapter 11, settling is different. It's like Lot pitching his tent towards Sodom. It's different. He didn't just find a place and just put up his tent and said, oh, look, oh, it just happens to be facing Sodom. That was a deliberate act. And so they settled in Haran. I got three things, and if you would, open your heart and listen to these three things. You want to move toward your future. I know you do. I do. I don't want to live in the past. I don't want our church to live in the past. We have a future, so why do people settle halfway to their future? You can say, oh me or oh my, anytime you want, but the first one is in slide number 10. And I hope these come out okay on the... Oh, it is in the box. This is one reason why people settle in Haran. If God were really with us, it would be a lot easier. They get to Haran, and they're looking ahead, and they've got 400 miles of desert. And this is the last stop. God, if you really wanted me to be in Canaan, it would be a whole lot easier to get there. And there are a lot of people that stop halfway to where God wants them to be because it's just getting too hard. Have you ever read the Bible? I'm saying that sarcastically. Have you read what some of the people in the Bible went through? And we think, you know, if I face a little opposition, God must not be in the deal. Are you kidding me? Look at what I got just a couple of them. Look what these guys went through. Abraham, he's one of them right there. He's a friend of mine because I have a kind of kindred spirit there, because God promised him at the age of 75. No, I'm not 75. God promised him at the age of 75 that he would have a son and changed his name from Abram to Abraham. You know the whole story. And how long did he wait for that son of promise? 25 years. And sometimes you and I go, man, I'm just tired of waiting on God. I prayed last night. I prayed last week, and God hasn't answered my prayer. 25 years. Lee and I got married. You got the passage of scripture, be fruitful and multiply. And so I was doing everything I could to be fruitful and multiply. 21 years later, our son came along. And the whole time, you start getting close. It's like, okay, God, please, no. I don't want to be like Abraham. I don't want to be a father of faith. I don't want to wait 25 years. I would have been 46 years old, 45 years old. Got married when I was 19. I would have been somewhere. Joseph. Have you read the story of Joseph? He gets beat up by his brothers. Now, I got beat up by my brothers, but, I mean, they always came to check on me, you know, just make sure I was kind of okay. I remember coming home from the hospital one time, my brother hit me in the ribs, and I thought, man, something went wrong there. And I went to the hospital, and it had separated my ribs. And so I came home all bandaged up, and my brother met me at the door, and he said, just remember one thing, Dave. I could have hit you harder. Okay. So he's beaten and sold into slavery by his brothers. Sisters would never do that. I don't think a sister would do that. Girls, would you do that? No, you would not do that to your sister. And then that's not enough. He gets falsely imprisoned, and then he's forgotten. And what does the text say at the end? He was right where God wanted him to be. And a lot of us aren't going to make it to the end because it's just too hard. Surely God's not in this. If God were really with me, life would be a little easier. There is a little sarcasm in my voice. I'm sorry. I've been there. Jeremiah, great prophet, the weeping prophet. He might have been called the weeping prophet because he was thrown into a cistern. Could have something to do with it. Daniel, we all love Daniel. What a great story. He got thrown into a lion's den. Anybody want to volunteer for that one? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know that story? They get thrown into a fiery furnace. Sounds good. Paul. You can't even go through the list with Paul, can you? I mean, it's just, yeah. Suffice it to say, shipwrecked 3 times. Spent a night and a day out in the ocean. Right where God wanted him to be. You look at the life of Jesus. Forsaken by his own, beaten, bloody, dying on a cross, right where God wanted him to be. And some people just aren't going to make it because they think it's too tough. I'm facing opposition. Maybe I'll just stop in Haran for a little while. Be careful, because your pit stop might just turn into settling. No, I'm not going to show one of those commercials that were settlers, because I think that's a different, you know, company than some people may represent here in the room. Number 2, slide number 11. I've been forgetting to tell you what slides we're on. Here's slide number 11. Why do some people stop in Haran? Because they want to please their family, want to please their friends. Now, Abram's father was a little old when they started the trip. At best guess, it's hard to discover all this, especially when you find out how old was was Terah when Abraham was born? Was it 75? Was it 135? Because he died at 205, but they left Canaan at 70. It was just, you go, and I mean, there's just all kinds of debate. And there are people that are, they're spending a lot of time trying to figure out how old all these things were. It really doesn't matter a whole lot to me. Suffice it to say, Terah was about 200 years old when they started the journey. That's pretty old. And so I can understand when they get to Haran, maybe we should give Dad a break. Aaron and I went hiking yesterday out into some woods and stuff like that, and I think Aaron was a little bit like that. Dad, you need a break. Like, okay, I'm not 200 years old, but maybe I could sit down for just a sec. You know, I'm trying to talk him into like hiking the Appalachian Trail or something like that, because he just loves to hike. And I'm just like, dude, I think you would just love to, you know, hike 20 miles in camp, and then hike 20 miles in camp, hike 20 miles in camp. Just you could do that for months. Are you going? I'm like, I might be able to make a week. Look at slide number 12. There are not a whole lot of people that Jesus looked to and said, come follow me. And here's a couple that Jesus said to follow him. And one said, hey, can I just go bury my family? Family's getting old. Can I just go do that? And you can see the response that Jesus said. And then somebody else said, hey, just let me go say goodbye to my family. I remember when Lee and I sat down with her parents and told them that we were moving to California. That was quite a shock for them. A year before, we had moved. We had moved from probably an area that would be called La Junta, and we had moved to Azle. It was 4 miles. And her folks had a difficult time with that 4 miles. We were now long distance to call. And so that was a little tough. And so we sat down with them, and I remember telling them that we were going to move to California, which was 1,500 miles away. And I know that was extremely difficult. And to Lee's dad's credit, after we talked about that, and there were all kinds of tears, and he looked at us and he said, I looked at Lee and said, I took your mother away from her family, and we lived our life. He said, you guys need to go live yours. And I'm sure he probably regretted that every single day, because every time any opening for a church came up in the Azle Springtown area, they would let us know, hey, this church is looking for a youth pastor. You want to come back? And we're like, you get to talk to God. It wasn't a concept that they quite got. But a lot of us, we stop halfway there because of our family. We want to please our family. Yes, we have obligations. Don't hear what I'm not saying, because Jesus was quite harsh on the Pharisees in the way they treated their parents. Especially the Pharisees that said, I'm about God's business. Who cares about my parents? Jesus turned it around and said, what do the Ten Commandments say? Honor your father and mother. So I'm not saying we don't honor our parents. But a lot of us, we're just not where we need to be, because we're trying to please our parents. We're trying to please our family. We're trying to please our friends. Great bit of marriage advice is found in those three passages that I gave you earlier, Genesis, Matthew, and Ephesians. And it's a simple principle called leaving and cleaving. And if you can do that, you'll have a good marriage. If you have a hard time leaving and cleaving, things could be a little bit difficult. If you have hate mail, if you're a parent, and I've got one. I'm looking at Aaron. He's going to be 15. I'm just thinking, no, he can't leave. Not letting him leave. At some point, I'm going to have to be able to say the same thing. I lived my life. I moved out when I was 18. You're going to have to go live your life. And then I'll probably cry every day just like my parents probably did. The third one, and I'm going to wrap up with this one here. Reasons why people stop halfway. Why people stop in Haran. Slide number 14. Oh, there it is right there. We choose material things over what God has for us. And you might be sitting there saying, I would never do that, Dave. Yeah. Haran was a prosperous city. We didn't read the text, but you can look in Genesis chapter 12 of verse number 5. It says this, when they finally left Haran, Abram took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, and all his wealth, his livestock, and all the people he had taken into his household at Haran. That 5 years was a very prosperous time for Abraham and his family. And I would imagine, speculating, yes, I would imagine it was very comfortable for them to stay. I've been giving you some quotes. Look at slide number 16. This is a great quote. It's one you're going to want to remember. The very thing God provides for our future, if we're not careful, will become our future. God provided things in Haran for their future. And if we're not careful, we'll just stay there. That's a great quote. That's a quote from me. I wrote that and I thought, I got to quote this too. I thought that was good. I can't tell you how many people I've seen do that. The devil shows a little bit of cash, a little bit of promotion, a little bit of opportunity, and we stop cold. You see it in people's lives all the time. God's doing something, and the devil just flashes just a little opportunity, and it catches our attention, and we go, oh, that's it. No, that's not it. That's a means to get you to where you're going, but that's not the destination. I'm sure you've done that in your life. You start getting comfortable. Oh, I like this. That's not where God wants you to stay. What does Haran mean? I saved this for the last because, and I told you there were two different words. Haran was a very prosperous city in between two rivers, a very fertile valley. Abraham was very blessed in Haran. Was it where he was supposed to be? I'm asking the question. Is that where God told him to go? That was a long, it was halfway there. Let me just tell you, if you stop halfway, it doesn't matter how prosperous it is, it doesn't matter how fertile the valley, it's going to become Haran. You know what the word Haran means? Parched. It means a burnt place. And how many believers, on the outside, things are looking great. They got cash in the bank. They got a new car in the driveway. And they're living in a parched, burnt place on the inside because they stopped halfway. And so it begs the question, and I'm going to close with this. What have you settled for? Maybe a better question is, where have you settled? And if I ask the question of you, I've got to ask it of me, and we have to ask it of Harvest Church. Where have we settled? I feel like we're in Haran, personally. I feel like we're halfway to where God wants us to be, and that's why we're selling the building, and it's time to move from here. If you're a visitor, you're a guest, and you showed up, and it's like, there's a for sale sign out there. That's because God's called us to go somewhere, and we've been camped out here in Haran for a little too long, and it's time for us to gather what God has brought to us here in Haran and move on, and it's going to be just like what it says there to Abraham. Go to a land that I will show you. Do we know where we're going? No. Do we want to stay where we are? No. And so we're going. So the question is, where have you settled? Have you stopped halfway along the journey? Why don't you bow your heads and close your eyes? In the next couple of weeks, I'm going to talk about some other things that we need to leave in the past. If you want to move forward in your future, you got to let go of the past. And so this morning, I want to ask the simple question, where have you stopped? If you settled in Haran, can I encourage you this morning to gather what God's given you and get ready to move? Heavenly Father, we just come to you. We don't know the future. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We'd be foolish to even say we know what the next couple of hours are going to bring. Life can turn in a heartbeat. And so I pray, Lord, those of us that feel like we've settled in Haran, parched, a burnt place. And we lift our eyes up and we look to our future and we see 400 miles of desert. I pray, God, that there's faith to see what lies beyond the desert. You didn't call Abraham to Haran. You called him to a land described in the Bible as a land flowing with milk and honey, and it's on the other side of the desert. And Lord, you have called us to that same promised land. Yes, it's different for each family. It is different for each church. But you have called us to a land flowing with milk and honey, and if we've got to cross the desert, we'll gather our supplies and pick up and move. God, I pray that we would do that as individuals. If that's you this morning, would you just in some way talk to the Lord and tell him you're tired of living in Haran? That probably would be a fair amount of repentance there, that we stopped. And you may have to look at why you stopped, and there may be some repentance needed there as well. And then after we take care of that business, we get up and we go. Somehow communicate that with the Father this morning. God, we're grateful that you hear our prayers. We're so humbled that the King of the universe would hear my heart, would hear my humble prayer. Thank you, God. Well, the good news here is that God called Abraham a second time. Living in Haran, God said, Abraham, this isn't where I called you. I want you to get up and go to the land of Canaan. Next week, we're going to pick it up there. Amen.